It is March 21st, 2016. You were looking live at New York, New York. This is episode 555 of the Will Leach Experience podcast on Sports Earth. I am the aforementioned Will Leach. Thank you for spending part of your day with me. I'm in New York for business. And so it's cold. It's not beautiful like it is in Athens all the time now. So my tan is so going to waste. Anyway, back. Thank you, Will. I hope you enjoyed all the podcasts last week, by the way. Three solid podcasts. It was like old school, back when they used to be every day. Those longtime listeners, all four of you, will remember back when this podcast was a daily podcast. Now, when we get three, I pat myself on the back. Anyway, we're going to have two podcasts this week. Today we'll be previewing the American League West and talking about La Affaire de La Roche. Adam LaRoche, that is. I keep wanting to call him Andy. I remember Andy back in the day, but it's Adam. I wonder what Andy thinks about this. I guess he probably supports his brother. Anyway, we'll be talking about that along with the American League West, previewing that. And then later on this week, I will have my big, annual, massive, huge, long, awesome MLB season preview podcast with Joe Sheehan. One of my favorite podcasts of the year. Anyway, so please rate and review us on iTunes if you please get an opportunity to do that. The music is by the Sundogs. Please rate and review us on iTunes. It would really be handy. Otherwise, here are me and here are Allison and I. All right. Hello, Allison. I've missed you. I feel like I need to say that at the beginning of every podcast, and it's because of your greatness, and also I live a somewhat forlorn life. So wow. I feel like – okay. Are we taping? Did I start the tape already? Oh, never mind. Let's just move on. So I need to talk about the big issue of the day. And to be fair, we're taping this on Friday afternoon. And people will be hearing this on Monday. So it's possible that there's been some sort of breaking news in La Roche Drake Gate, I suppose. I have to say, one thing I'm certain of, if I were 14, I would really not be a big fan of the entire country having this big debate about whether my daddy hangs out with me. Because at 14, the last thing I wanted to do was to have, you know, people. I might have to hang out with my dad, but secondly, to have everybody talking about me. It's an awkward age, is the point.
Yes, it's unfortunate all around. We'll get into that.
Yeah. So honestly, what I wrote a piece that went up on Friday that generally I feel like, you know, this story has become oversimplified in a way, in that it's become those mean white, that mean Kenny Williams or Ken Williams. He goes by Ken now.
I call him Kenny.
So. Yeah, that mean Ken Williams won't let Adam LaRoche hang out with his son, and therefore Adam LaRoche retired. Now, first, and that's it. That's the end of it. What a jerk, Chris Sale. Can't believe it. There's a player revolt. So on and so on. Now, first of all, I think we can probably both agree on: you have to admire the principles of Adam LaRoche for being willing to retire rather than to not have this arrangement. To me, I find it – I might not agree with that. We'll get into that. But certainly – he certainly is standing behind his belief 13 million times. So that is
– I'll
give him that. Okay. So because my general take on this is I feel like this idea that the White Sox being mean to Adam LaRoche and not letting his kid come in there is – it's insane that this was ever the arrangement in the first place. You've been in clubhouses.
Yeah.
Like Adam LaRoche is on record saying, my wife and I are not big school people. We think he'll get more of an education in a baseball clubhouse than a classroom. You've been to clubhouses. I've been to clubhouses. That is literally one of the stupidest things I've ever heard a person say.
I didn't realize that. I had never seen that story. I just read your story like 8 minutes before we started this, and I was appalled. And it does answer a lot of questions because, like, when I heard about this a couple days ago, whenever this thing broke, I thought, okay, there's something I'm missing here. Maybe they're being homeschooled. There's got to be some way because, like you say, yes, I've been in clubhouses, and anybody who has spent any time in a clubhouse, even for a short amount of time, would tell you that the player's sons are around on occasion, sporadically, before games, sometimes after games, after wins, they open it up, and there's a lot of little kids running around. Not running around. I mean, they're very well behaved, but they're in there during the summer months. But never has it been – I mean, the most that I ever saw anyone's kids were Craig Biggio's sons. And, of course, later on in his career, they were older and they were teenagers, great kids. They were around often. They were not around often because they had school and baseball and their activities. Sometimes they would travel with the team on designated family trips. I mean, they were there a lot. I mean, I know them very well because of the amount of time that they were in the clubhouse. So, it's not an unusual thing, and they're not banning it. The fact, I mean, it is so disturbing, and I'm trying to like reserve judgment like on social media to like get everything, but for him to for LaRoche to even think for a second that a classroom setting is less important than a clubhouse setting like makes my stomach turn.
It's
There
crazy.
is no education going on in a clubhouse. That is not to say that there aren't educated guys in there, and like it's not all just like towel flinging, butt slapping, making disgusting jokes, and farting as you
Yeah,
as you.
I'll confess. I just tried to make that paragraph funny. I'll confess.
Yeah,
I
I
know there's
mean.
other things that go on.
I'd walk into the clubhouse and Brad Lidge would be reading some like historical look back at something that happened in the 16th century, some 500-page literary no I mean, there
That
are.
was the novelization of the movie 300. You won't convince me otherwise.
Okay, I don't even know what that is, but yeah,
Never
so there are, I mean, there are definitely, and that's not an exaggeration. I mean, there are extremely intelligent things that go on in clubhouses sometimes. But no, you need to
mind.
be in a clubhouse setting or in a classroom setting with your peers your age, where you're getting socialized with other people your age and doing. He is 14 years. Oh, this is just. After like reading your article, now I'm just like, now I'm worried about the kid. Okay, the other point I want to make on this is that I do not admire Adam LaRoche. Okay, Adam LaRoche, there's no way that he could have known that this is going to blow up to where it did. Okay, I get that. But I'm having a problem like standing in admiration for somebody who is going to who's walking away from the game. So now that's what his kid's going to remember, that he was the cause of him
That's
giving
fair.
up Major League Baseball. And in a couple of years, Adam LaRoche is going to really miss Major League Baseball. And any retired player will tell you that they have had fleeting moments where they thought, I maybe should have played another year, because nothing that you do in your life will ever be as good as the years that you're playing Major League Baseball. So that's very disturbing to me that his son has been thrust into the spotlight. It's going to follow him around. If he does start school, he's going to be it's going to be tough for him, and he has to carry this around with him. And this is the terrible age to be drawing attention to yourself. Oh my goodness. It gets better, but right now at 13 and 14, this is just so not good. So no, I find this whole thing really unfortunate, really disturbing. And I think like now I'm seeing pictures of Chris Sale with like the jerseys of the roaches hanging in his locker. I'm like, okay, now this is getting kind of weird,
Like
kind
Ken
of
Win,
scary,
like Ken
kind of
Williams sent him
stupid.
to jail or something, or made him go work in a labor camp.
I mean, nobody died. Like, let's stop this nonsense. And it's but someone is lying. I mean, everyone has their different variations, and that's my main point, is that we actually don't know everything because there are so many different variations of the story coming out. And what I have a feeling that Ken Williams made this decision based on feedback that he was getting from teammates who are not standing up in the middle of a clubhouse meeting saying, "No, I actually said I'd really rather Drake not be around." No one's saying that. So,
But
there.
somebody has said it. To me, I agree with you. I
Of
agree
course.
with you. No
Ken Williams did
question
not wake.
whatsoever.
He didn't wake up one day and look at Drake and say, "Yeah, I don't really think I want you around anymore." Something happened. And by the way, the White Sox are 100% right on this. Now, if there was a report that was like negotiated, I don't know if it was actually a written part of the contract, but this was a verbal agreement, whatever it was, that he could be around as much as he is, that this is kind of part of the deal that goes along with Adam LaRoche. Okay, now the Players Association might get involved, and they may have a point on that. But from a team standpoint, like, you have every right to tell your player he cannot be here 162 days a year. Go to school.
I mean, who generally speaking, I've been some clubhouses. You've been a lot more clubhouses than I have. I mean, kids are around. Like they're around. It's totally fine. Nobody
Oh,
thinks it's weird.
totally.
Like it's not
Yeah,
a strange.
no.
It's not a strange thing. Kids are around. It's not a weird thing. No one's surprised to see a kid there.
No.
No one is saying no kids in the clubhouse. They're saying this situation is weird, and I'm sorry, but it is.
Yeah, and that needs to be said. I mean, for anyone who is listening, like teams encourage this. Like these guys are gone so much. And when your kid gets to be 5 years old, then you do not see them for more than a week for 6 weeks of spring training. You go, they have when they have school in April, May, and September, like you literally could go a week and not see your kid if you're not gonna get up with them at 6 o'clock in the morning and make them breakfast. And players go the extra mile to make sure that they do that. And it is very rough. Nobody wants to hear it because these guys make so much money, and I get that. But there is so much time away from the families, and these guys do worry, what effect is this going to have on my kid later? The fact that I'm not around now. And so the every team, they encourage it. And I know that this story didn't get a lot of play, but I don't know if it was last year or the year before, but the Cleveland Indians decided to designate some Sundays as daughters coming in the clubhouse after games.
Yes,
And
yes.
so they arranged it so that everything was, decent and fine. And the daughter, because the players were getting kind of tired of their daughters being left out. So on some Sundays after wins, the daughters would be let in too. So there's been an effort. I think it's fantastic. Carlos Lee and Jeff Kent and Craig Biggio and Roger Clemens and Andy Pettitte and all of these kids I have seen in the clubhouse over the years. And it's fine and it's great, but it's in moderation and the kids have their own lives and that's why they're not there 24/7.
Yeah, it's another weird aspect to the story is LaRoche has a daughter that
Yes.
apparently school's fine for her, I
Right, she
guess.
gets to go to school.
But she's you know she's but she you know she doesn't know the learn the lessons of men, I guess, that
Oh,
go on in that
God, this
process.
is so awful.
I
Like,
know, and
oh.
it's weird. That's what's frustrating for me about this is it has been painted in this, frankly, very stupid way. That
Yes.
and honestly, Deadspin brought up a good point in their piece about this today. Why exactly does Chris Sale so much care so much that there's like a
Yes.
14-year-old kid hanging around the clubhouse? I don't quite get it. And listen, that's why I think you're right. I think there is some sort of there's something going on in that clubhouse that is independent of what's going on with Jake LaRoche.
Absolutely.
And
There's something you do not know.
yeah, and so, but it is weird. It is weird. And so for me, that was the thing is I have to say. I think if I was watching, I was inspired to write about this because I usually try to. I really didn't feel like writing about the story because it just felt like anytime a story gets this big, it just turns into two people on opposite sides yelling at each other. And those are my least favorite kind of stories.
Yeah.
But I was literally watching the Today Show on Friday morning, like getting breakfast for my kids. And next to the story about some eagle hatching an egg in the National Mall or something. Like, I don't understand morning news. It's so baffling to me. And but this becomes the story, and it's totally painted in this Adam LaRoche just wanted to be a good father.
Of course.
But Ken Williams, president of the Chicago White Sox, said, "No, we're separating you." Like he's like a judge, like saying you are stripping your child away from you. But Adam LaRoche, it took one man to stand up. It's like, dude, no one's taking your kids away. Your kids can come all of them. And now, of course, the problem is now it's going to be weird for anyone in the White Sox clubhouse who just normally has their kid come by, which
Right,
is probably
yeah.
happens all the time.
The non-sports media, and I said this on one, I did a hit with 120 Sports earlier today, and then when the non-sports media gets involved in any sports
It's
stories,
the
like
worst.
we were talking about The View, which I used to watch and I don't anymore, and when they start talking about, it's like it's so painful to listen to because they're so way off. They don't have anything close to the facts, and this is like totally off the topic, but when the Mitchell report came out, and Roger Clemens like came out, guns blazing, and he was like, denying everything, and he holds this like big press conference. He finally talks, and we've been waiting for this minute. We don't know what to do with this story except, reporting on what's in the Mitchell report, and then he's suing everybody, and he's got lawyers, and he's got handlers. Okay, so they have this big press conference at like the convention center, I believe. So it would be a room that would be big enough to hold everybody, and everybody was there. There must have been 150 people in that room, and I'm sitting next to Richard Justice. And so normally for a sports press, like a baseball press conference, you have like the one that you see like on TV, where we're all sitting there and asking, there's like some basic questions, and then afterwards is like the one-on-ones where you go and you talk and you get like more information. He walks in. He makes like a statement, and then this woman from like the local, one of the local TVs, not a sports anchor, she's just like a hard news anchor, starts screaming questions at him, screaming them. And we're all like, oh my God, what is she doing? This isn't how it works. And she's just going on railing, and he makes one statement and he throws his arms in the air and he walks out. The press conference lasted about 4.5 minutes because he walked out and he never talked to anybody again.
Yeah, I always call this the Nancy Grace rule
Yes.
of sports is the minute that Nancy Grace gets a hold of a sports story.
Oh my God. It's all over.
So yeah, exactly. So all right. So the point is, listen, and I'm going to be clear on this. It's funny because I've written the big anti-Andy LaRoche column on this. I find it. I honestly do. I find it admirable that he. It's not the way I would handle it, but whatever. I'm a different father, and I was a different son, so that I don't. I'm not trying to put this as a I'm a better dad. That's a wrong dad decision. I admire. I don't necessarily think that putting Drake in the spotlight like this is the best idea. But whatever, that is his decision. He can do whatever he wants. But and I admire that he is willing. I mean, he's honestly turning down $13 million, and frankly, if he went on the open market right now, he ain't getting $13 million. He didn't have a very good year last year.
He's not getting a contract,
so
right.
So like, you know, that's a lot of money to walk away from on a principle. So I have to say, I respect the fact. I do. I respect the fact that principle, but the principle that led him to have this situation in the first place is patently insane. I think more and more people actually look at the story and don't just come into it with a don't separate a father and his son, the more they realize it is a lot more complicated than Adam Lewis having his son taken away from him.
Yeah, well, one more thought on that is, like, I think that, like, he doesn't really have a backup plan for this. Like, if somebody comes to you and says, like, okay, your kid is around a little bit too much and we want to just clean it up a little, just, you know, tone it down, it's like, well, now they have to send a kid to school and he doesn't even go to school? Like, that's the thing. It's like, for anybody else, it would just sort of be like, okay, we're just going to continue living our normal lives and we're just going to, like, tone it down a little bit. But for this, it would be – it seems like a complete life-altering, changing experience for the entire family.
He's also not homeschooled. That's another really weird aspect of this. Like, what are your thoughts about homeschooling? Like, it's not my thing, but some people do it and they love it. It makes them very happy and the kids turn out fine. But he's not actually being homeschooled.
No.
I mean, he actually is at a school that the school just signs him out for months at a time. And then to me, this is the final damning evidence in this is the idea that he actually is able to leave. He never leaves for school events, but if he has a little league game, then he leaves LaRoche. It's like, to me, it's just like, for like, it's weird that this has actually been allowed to happen. I'll be honest, it is really weird.
It is really weird because in typical baseball terms, like if a kid, they come down for spring training, like over their spring break, and they might like leave a day early and miss like 1 or 2 days of school. And that's like as far as the parents will push this. And so now what do we have? We've got Adam LaRoche, who's now a retired baseball player and was an active baseball player 3 days ago. And so now he literally has nothing going on. So he's going to go home. Drake is going to go home and go and try to ingratiate himself into school, or are they still going to just like not have him go to school? Now the whole family's going to be sitting around looking at each other while the daughter goes to school. People.
It's weird. I'm sorry.
I mean, when you're in high school, you go to football games, you drive through like the Taco Bell drive through, you like look for guys, or if you're a guy, you look for girls, or whatever you want to do. Like, do that. Hang out with your friends. You're 14.
Yeah. More power to him. Listen, I'm sure by Monday it will all come out that the twist in the story is Drake is actually 37. And this has just been a confusion. He was actually a clubhouse aide, and who knows.
He was shining a lot of shoes, though, Will. There's a lot of life experience to be learned in that. Yeah. A lot of shining of the shoes.
Okay, so one thing that we remembered that we had not done yet is the American League West. I was going to wrap up our preview series this week with the National League Central, but we haven't done the AL West because I think we skipped because I've been aligning these up with my on Sports Nerd on Mondays, on Tuesdays. I've been writing previews of every division. I've usually lined those up with this podcast, but then I started a week early and realized I'd written about the AL West, but we have not talked about the AL West. Now, you obviously have a connection with the AL West because you are best friends with everyone in the Houston Astros ownership. And so
I'm so engaged with them that I didn't even notice that we hadn't talked about
it. Okay, plausible deniability. But so let's talk about the AL West, of course. Now, so I have my five. Do you have your five? Do you have your order?
I do.
Now, it is worth noting. As I mentioned way back whenever I ran this, I think it was mid-February, February 16th, when I wrote my AL West preview, it is worth noting that last year, I not only got the AL West wrong, every team I picked to have a winning record had a losing record, and every team I picked a losing record had a winning record. So, you know, pay real close attention to me here.
Makes you feel good.
Yeah, that's actually hard to do.
So, that is, yeah.
That's actually pretty tough to do. So, all right, so let's start out with fifth place. And again, one thing we've talked about in the American League already is the American League, unlike the National League, does not have five or six teams that are just saying, never mind. Like, everybody in the ALS is at least putting up the pretense of attempting to contend. That said, I think there is one clear team that is fifth in this division, and I think it's the Oakland A's.
I have to tell you that I have put the Anaheim Angels in last.
Oh, I love it. Okay, that's good. Okay, that's good, because I have them fourth, and I have them comfortably in fourth. So I am not against that idea. So let's talk about the Angels. Let's talk about the Angels. I think they're a little bit more interesting than the A's. Because it was funny. Do you remember in my preview, I wrote about how, you know, it was 2 years ago that Trout signed that extension.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was a big extension, but it was still, I think, even Mike Trout, maybe the best player in baseball. I mean, you know, the idea that at the age of 23, the idea that he would sign for that long, many people thought, like, well, it's a little under market, but whatever, you got to get your money when you can. Can you imagine if he had not signed that contract, he would be a free agent after next year, which means he could theoretically get traded this offseason if he'd not signed that. Because I'm sorry, he signed that contract too soon. This team looks... outside of Trout, it really looks terrible.
Yeah, it looks injured to me is what it looks like. My main reason for this was, and I'm probably just like, it's probably a knee-jerk reaction to the fact that I was just like watching the Angels and just speaking with Alden Gonzalez, who covers the Angels, about the problems with the pitching staff. But there are major problems with this pitching staff. There are a lot of injury issues and uncertainty with CJ Wilson, with Jared Weaver, and I just don't find this to be, I don't know. But, you know, they do have some depth, though. I do like some of these other pitchers. I like Shoemaker, Santiago, Tropiano could make the rotation, and, of course, Garrett Richards being at the top. So I think, you know.
Well, isn't Weaver throwing, like, 80 miles an hour?
He's throwing 80, and he's got a neck problem, and It's bad. I mean, it's not happening for him. And then CJ Wilson is having all kinds of problems, too. So, when you take out that much, I just don't think that they have quite enough there, and I just feel like this is the slow. I don't know, because I've been saying like the slow decline is like starting with them because their farm system is so bad, and they've got a lot of bloated contracts. And while they do have young players, I was corrected on this and saying, you know, oh, they've got an old team and, you know, terrible farm system. But I mean, they have infused some young players into this lineup, and that's very true.
But none of them are that great.
No, I feel like the A's and the Angels could end up with like records close to each other. Like I feel like the A's are a better team. I guess I should say that. But I just feel like the Angels are going to have so many problems in the first half of the season, and they're going to dig themselves into a hole, and they could, you know, get back on track. But I don't think it would be enough, and I think everybody else has a better chance to sort of tread water a little bit.
Yeah, I think you're right. I really shouldn't have been so flip about Oakland finishing last, because I do think that they are last. But yeah, the Angels, it does feel like it's just gonna keep getting worse.
Yeah,
it's just gonna keep getting worse, because they do have some young players, but nothing real, nothing like top shelf. Right. And if you take away Trout from this team, They are theoretically like a 65-win team if you were to take away Trout from that team. And that's the thing, too. And the pitching is starting to fall apart. And they just – and I have to say, like, you know, we've discussed the Josh Hamilton thing. The way they handled that was so crappy there is a certain kind of bad odor wafting off of this franchise in the last few years. So you've heard this. There's a really good essay in the New Baseball Prospectus book about this, about how the Angels, they don't always, like, the whole organization, there's a attitude to them that doesn't always strike other organizations that warmly. And I think that, not to say it's chickens coming home to roost, because, you know, bad people win championships all the time. Yes. But so I don't mean to say that, but certainly my sympathy level for them is low. I'll put it that way. And to me, imagine how different. I mean, Mike Trout looks. I mean, how many years? If they keep getting worse, and it looks like they're going to keep getting worse, because their second best player right now is maybe Pujols or maybe Simmons. Like, right. And it's just and the gap between that person. I mean, Pujols' on base was like 300 last year. Like, he hit a lot of homers, but it was almost an empty, like. Not even Nelson Cruz, but just like an empty homer, nothing else guy. So I think you're right. If the Angels finish behind the A's, that would not be shocking to me. The reason I picked the A's is it feels like last year much has been made about how they probably were a little bit better than their record was last year, but they still weren't that great. And like a lot of that was because of like surprise people like Stephen Vogt and Billy Burns, who are really not you know, they're still not superstars. They look like Sonny Gray and a couple interesting guys and some platoon advantages. And that's really it. It feels like the A's window. I was a Bean guy. I loved the A's. I want them to do well. But it kind of feels like that moment it has passed as well.
Yeah, and I hated the Billy Butler signing.
Yeah.
Hated it. And now they're stuck with him. And so, yeah, that's going to bring him down because I don't think he's ever going to be anything close to what he was a few years ago. So, yeah, I like Sonny Gray at the top of the rotation. Obviously, I kind of look around. I like Josh Reddick. Stephen Vogt, as you said, I mean, there's some interesting pieces. I do not think this is a good team. I do not anticipate there will be a big gap between 4 and 5 in this division. it's going to sort of be remind me of maybe the NL Central, like who can beat up on the Reds and the Brewers the most. And that's going to kind of be with these two teams. So I just sort of picked the Angels because I just think that they are in a huge, huge problems with their rotation. And I think that the A's could have a decent one if they stay healthy. Yeah, and they could win 72 games and good for them. But no, I'm not impressed. And I don't see anything on this team that would make me scared except for Sonny Gray.
Yeah, you may have actually talked me into the Angels, put the Angels last. You've actually made me come around, but we'll see. But it's funny too because now we'll get to our third place team. My third place team, I wonder if it's yours, is Seattle. And the thing about Seattle is they've been so disappointing too. The idea that they're not one of the two obvious bad teams that we talk about when we do the NL Central comparison. I'm a little bullish on Seattle. I feel like Cano was not. He had a really rough first half, but he was actually really good in the second half. The bullpen seems like it could be a little bit better. And I kind of like that. Jerry DePoto, the new GM, is starting to address the real problems with the team. He's getting some more on base guys. He's not just going after these big power guys that can't get on base. The Mariners seem to me like a team that I think they can hit 500 this year, which is not something that maybe you should do a big, great, crazy dance about, but is an improvement against the way things have kind of turned the last couple of years.
Yeah, I picked him third also, and I mainly do it because I kind of laugh because all I do is listen to other people talk about him. I'm like, okay. So then when they were going to go to the World Series last year, I was like, well, I'll jump on that bandwagon. Okay. I mean, you guys know. I look at their roster and I'm like, well, there's some pretty decent players and some names, of course, like Cano, Cruz, Aoki, and of course, King Felix. So, yeah, I think that's has all the makings of a very, very solid game over 500 team and a third place finish. So, I don't know. I laugh when people say, well, they're going to be better. And I don't know if it's just I just find them to be so pedestrian, just kind of like there. And I think that the division is not like there's I don't think that there's like one team that's so outstanding that, it's just going to be hard to maintain. So that's why I think that the Mariners are going to be in it. I mean, I think that they'll still be contenders in September, but that doesn't really mean much beyond that.
All right, so let's go number two, second in the division. I have the team that won the division last year second. I have the Texas Rangers second. I was really, really wrong about the Rangers last year by like 23 games, but I'm still not completely sold. I don't think Hamels is quite the number one that they trade for him to be. Darvish, if he's healthy, could be that person, but that's still going to be a while till he comes back. And it's weird for a team that we've always think of as like a young team. They have a lot of old dudes they're counting on. Fielder, Beltre, who Beltre seems like almost ageless at this point, but eventually he's not. Eventually he's going to have to slow down a little. In fact, the first part of last year, he did slow down a little bit. Fielder, Beltre, Chu, and of course Hamilton at this point, if they get him for like 50 games, they'll be happy. I like a lot of the young talent. I love Odor. I feel like he could be a MVP, top 10 MVP vote guy this year. But it doesn't. They look like they're in this weird middle between an old team and a young team. And I still think they make them second in the division, but I don't think they can repeat their title.
Yeah, no, I haven't picked second also. For a lot of the reasons that you said, Cole, I think it largely depends on Darvish and if he can come back and be effective. I do like the rotation with him in it. But, of course, they have to wait until about, mid-May, until they can even expect him to be making some starts. And yeah, Beltre is Beltre. And then they have Joey Gallo waiting in the wings, which is nice. Josh Hamilton, I expect nothing from. I see him on these depth charts and I'm not a huge fan for many reasons. I don't think this is all on the Angels, everything that happened. But so I don't really, factor him in at all. But like Elvis Andrus, hasn't really he's not really the player that he's supposed to be, if that's the way to put it. Prince Fielder, obviously very good as a DH. So yeah, I mean, this is a good like veteran team that can definitely compete in the division that it's in. But it's not like anything really stands out to me. And yeah, but like you said, the fact that they won the division last year, I think is more predicated on the fact that the division wasn't very good.
Yeah,
Not so much that they were so great.
and it fell off. It fell off, and really, I mean, Houston was really a year early. And they're my pick for first place. And I frankly, this is of all the divisions, this is probably the one I'm most confident, actually, in my prediction to win the division. I think they are clearly the best team in their division. And last year, they were ahead most of the year, but it was a year early. Like, you know the franchise. I don't think they thought they would be better last year. I don't know if they quite saw themselves as a playoff team last year, but I think they're going to be better this year. They look deeper. They look smart. They've made some smart additions, and I also think they're going to get improvement from their guys. Also, I like Carlos Correa more than a grown man should like a baseball player. I love Carlos Correa so much. Like he's just like he instantly has become one of my absolute favorite players. To the point that I already expect. Like in 5 years, people are going to be tired of old people like me being like, Carlos Correa is so great. He's gonna become the new Jeter in that way, where we're tired of people praising him all the time. But I actually like this team. I think this team is going to end up. I think the Astros will win their division by more games than any other team will win their division.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a fair assessment. I am less concerned about their rotation than I am about some of the other teams' rotations, even though they're not deep enough. They don't have enough depth. And Lance McCullers is not going to start the season on time, which is alarming. And so there are things, but yes, I mean, Carlos Correa for a full season, a rotation that brings back a bunch of guys that did pretty well last year. Now you have even, another year of experience for some of these guys. Jose Altuve is a fantastic player. You can see George Springer maybe breaking out, putting together a full season of what he can do. And there's really not, I mean, there are holes, but nothing that is, there aren't any holes that are bigger than anything going on in the division. So I really do feel like if you look back at last season and the Astros' best baseball came before Carlos Correa was called up. So no, I don't think that they'll shoot out to a 22-9 or whatever is it they did. So last year they were like 22-9 and then they went under 500 for 4 months. And I think that they're going to be a little bit less. I think you pointed out or somebody that their interleague this year is the NL Central. So it's not going to be like as much of a cakewalk as it was through interleague last year. And that I think is going to make a difference in their record. But yeah, I just think it's going to be more evenly spread and they're going to just be good and consistent all season long, assuming that they stay healthy. But that is what you say for every team.
All right. Well, there we go. So we're in agreement. After getting the AL Central dramatically, we're on much different sides of that. And listen, boy, how awesome am I feeling about my White Sox pick right now?
What'd you pick them? Did you?
I am winning. I had him win the
Oh
division. Not and I for the record, I did come back and read. It's not because obviously this clubhouse is really close and they're totally in sync with the executive. Oh, I didn't say that.
No, you didn't. And that's the other thing that I think that we haven't really addressed is why is Kenny Williams is the executive vice president, correct?
Yeah,
So,
he's just been in charge for so long that he probably feels like he runs the place. Like he
I
was the
mean.
GM and yeah.
But was that his call? Is that maybe why the players are mad? Is like why
Yeah,
is
I think so. I think one of the things that Sale even said was like, "You're not even here. You don't know the clubhouse dynamics down here."
Right.
Which again, I get that. I actually
Kenny
do get
Williams is totally carrying out the wishes of somebody in uniform. That's
no question about it.
no question. He's gonna fall on the sword, and
No
he had
question about it.
basically nothing to do with this. So it's either the manager that wanted the kid out, or it's more than four players, and he
Every
is.
time he walks in that clubhouse, he tries so hard not to make eye contact with
Yeah.
that player that said, "Please get this 14-year-old kid. I want to fart. I want to look at my bikini calendar and do all the gross things that 23-year-old guys do when they're around 23-year-old guys all the time." So, and that's not to, I'm not excusing that. I'm not saying that is like acceptable, but it's also a reason that 14-year-old kids don't live in clubhouses.
Right. It's really, really nobody lives in clubhouses, and he's come the closest,
That's
I think, of
closest, right?
anybody.
Seriously.
Like, I
But
mean, suiting up, It's
He's got a locker. I'm sorry. It's weird that he has a
there's so
locker.
many things that are so important about developing as a child at that age, and so much of it is just surrounding your own peers and your being in school, going to football games on Friday nights. Oh, come on, man.
I mean,
You got.
I've heard from, one thing that I have to remember my piece. I got one common response I got to it, people that disagreed with it, was, "Yeah, well, it's a baseball tradition." Ken Griffey hung out with his dad in the clubhouse,
Yes.
and Barry Bonds and Cal Ripken,
Yes.
and of course, that's totally cool. That is an awesome baseball tradition. I love it. You love it. We always have those great things of even fathers and sons that don't get along anymore, like Prince and Cecil Fielder. We all have those cool. But we see this in the NBA now. Where there's pictures of Steph Curry shooting. Like, it's cool when the kids get to hang out with their dads. They
Right.
just don't get to not go to school.
Exactly. You can do both. You can do both. It's happened hundreds of thousands of times over
Exactly.
the course of a baseball of course of over the course of baseball. I mean, it really has. It's like kids hang out with their dads and they get high school diplomas.
Exactly. They do. They do. They do. And they don't leave for really important things like baseball games. Like, little league
Right?
games are more important than tests. Remember, this is the more important thing. He's not being raised, he's not being homeschooled. He is actually a member of a school that just lets him be away for months at a time.
Oh my God.
Okay. We'll go on this all day. All right. Thank you, Allison. This was spirited. And again, who knows? By the time this goes up on Monday, again, well, the 38-year-old Drake, Lord, he's probably taller than I am.
Do you
So, like, you
understand now why I
know.
say this is the highlight of my week? And you're like, oh, that makes me so sad. It
No,
makes nothing
it doesn't
better
make
for
me
me.
sad. No, it makes me happy. No, I don't mean to say that. All right. Thank you, Allison. I'll see you. We'll do the NL Central next week. And then the week after that, I'm going to be in Houston for the Final Four, and we'll say hi.
We're gonna say hi at El Tiempo, man. We're going to get some Mexican food.
Yeah, it's on. It's on. All right. Well, thank you. Have a great time. And I'll see you. I'll see you. I'll talk to you in a week to preview the NL Central. All right, peace, everyone. Of course, always follow Allison Footer on Twitter at AlysonFooter. Have a wonderful week. Please rate and review us on iTunes. We'll be back. I don't. We have Joe Sheehan with our big massive preview later this week, and then we'll be back with Allison the NL Central next week. Have a great weekend. Have a great week, everyone. It's not the weekend. It's a week for you. It's a weekend for me. Have a great one. Be safe, all.